Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know that man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. The word of God for the people of God.
A number of years ago, I was attending a national young clergy gathering back when I was still young enough to be considered a young clergy. And at the time, I was the pastor of Community Church Without Walls, a church that I had planted that was located in a low-income community of Birmingham, Alabama. And so in addition to worship, we tried to break down walls of racism and barriers to opportunity. We tried to address things like housing and education and food insecurity and things of that nature. Now, one of the conveners of this conference knew a little bit about that church and at one point asked me to speak about it. So I told my favorite stories, you know, the stories that made it seem like we were changing the world, the stories that made me look really good. And people loved it. But later that same afternoon, another participant in the conference approached me and said, "Okay, tell me the real story. I don't want to just hear the good part." And he was right. I had only told part of the story. Now, everything I said was true, but I had left out the parts that weren't so great. I didn't tell the part about how one of our church leaders once stole our church van, or the part about where one of our church services was interrupted by people getting into a fight, you know, like a literal fight, not just the kind that all churches have. Or any other number of examples of times when we clearly weren't changing the world, or the stories where I didn't come across too well. The truth is that ministry of any kind is like life. It's beautiful, it's difficult, it's messy, and it's rarely straightforward. Now, around the same year that I attended that young clergy conference, I took a group of high school kids on a youth retreat. And the most meaningful part of that retreat was actually something that one of the counselors said during her morning devotion. She shared about how she struggled with feelings of inadequacy, feeling that she wasn't enough, feeling that she had to do more to be worthy of love, to be worthy of acceptance. And in her journey, she discovered a prayer that had become really meaningful to her. And ever since I heard it, it has become really meaningful to me. And it's a very simple prayer. It goes just like this. "God, help me to see myself just as I am, nothing more and nothing less." So today, our theme is about imagining church being a community where all of us can be honest about who we are without feeling shame, where we can accept who we are, nothing more and nothing less. And I think it's a lot easier to do that if we can trust that we are a part of a community in which all of us are accepted for who we are. And I can't think of a better teacher for us in trying to live into that theme than Brené Brown. Anybody listen to her podcast or read any of her books? Brown is a social worker and a professor who researches courage and vulnerability and shame and empathy. As I said, she's written books, she has a podcast, she gave a TED Talk in 2010 called The Power of Vulnerability that is one of the top five most watched TED Talks ever. And Brené Brown believes that choosing to be honest and vulnerable about who we are, and especially about our fears and our insecurities and our failures, that type of honesty is crucial in finding healing and living whole, authentic lives. She writes that vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they are never weaknesses. And yet, I can't help but think that being vulnerable is sort of like eating healthy, right? Like, I know it is good for me to eat primarily a plant-based diet. I know that. I know that I will feel so much better in the long run if I can do that. And yet, y'all, I really like Mike Baker's barbecue. It's hard to be honest about who we are. And I think the primary reason is because it's hard to find spaces and communities where we can be honest about who we are and know that we won't be shamed. Because daily we hear that voice that says, don't let them know. Don't let them know that you don't have it all together. Don't let them know that you lost your temper with your kid because you know they never have. Don't let them know that you feel like you don't know what you're doing at work because we all know you have to fake it till you make it. Don't let them know that things aren't great in their marriage because surely theirs is perfect. And I could go on and on and on about all the ways that we are socialized to not be vulnerable. And the same is true, maybe especially true in church. That if there is any place where it should be okay to not be okay, it should be church. And yet there is this pressure to conform, this pressure to make sure that everyone knows that we are living our lives exactly in accordance with the faith that we profess. So let's try something really quick. If you ever feel like that you are alone and not always having it together, take a look to your right, and take a look to your left, and behind you, and in front of you. Now remember all the people you just looked at. I'm going to tell you a little secret about them, all right? Those people you looked at, they don't always have it together either. Or take a look at me. My wife and kids will tell you that I surely don't always have it together either. None of us do. And that's okay. It's okay because here at church, we are called to be a place where everyone feels safe to be honest about who we are. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, if I go back to my first story, the story where I selectively told the conference attendees about all the good parts of that church, if I'm honest, what I was really doing was not just telling them the good parts about the church, I was also telling them the good parts about me. You see, I so identified that my own personal worth was tied up into how well the church was doing, that to brag about the church was a way to brag about me. But on the flip side, to talk about our shortcomings was to talk about my shortcomings. I wanted them to think well of me, and for some reason, I thought for that to happen, I could only tell the part where the outcome of our work was inspiring. But if I was honest, deep down, I didn't always feel that way. I was part of a community, but I was so worried that the ups and the downs of that community would not be seen as the successes or the shortcomings of our community as a whole, but of me individually. You see, I think we hesitate to tell the whole story, that we hesitate to be honest about who we are out of a place of inadequacy, this feeling that I'm not enough, that I didn't do enough, that I'm not smart enough, I'm not brave enough, I'm not courageous enough, not enough. But I also think that this hesitation to be honest about ourselves can also come from a place of arrogance. I mean, how arrogant was it of me to think that I had complete control over how that community or any community is doing. And I think sometimes we think that people, you know, that we either struggle with feelings of inadequacy or that there are people who struggle with arrogance. And while I think one of those feelings may play a more dominant role in different people, I actually think that for most of us, both feeling inadequate, feeling less than, and feeling arrogant, feeling more than, can be at work, maybe even at the same time. And that brings us to our scripture, because I think we see both of these places at work in the life of Peter. In the scripture reading today, Jesus had just been arrested and would soon be crucified. And Peter, following at a safe distance, was asked if he were one of Jesus' followers, an accusation that he denied three times. But the part that we didn't read was a little earlier, when Peter had declared that he would never deny Jesus. He declared that even if everyone else denied Jesus, he wouldn't. He was even ready to die for Jesus. And yet the passage ends with Peter weeping bitterly, because not only had he not been willing to die for Jesus, he denied he even knew who Jesus was. He went from this moment of arrogance, even if everyone else leaves you, I won't, to this moment of complete inadequacy, weeping because he couldn't even admit that he knew who Jesus was. And I'm sure all of this was wrapped up into this overwhelming sense of shame that Peter must have felt. And Peter was not alone. While we live in a world where it is so tempting to hide our places of failure and shortcomings and insecurities, the Bible is brutally honest about the shortcoming of the characters within it, even the ones that we think of as giants of our faith. Moses argued with God for three whole chapters before finally going back to Egypt. David was an adulterer, a murderer, and he just kept messing up over and over again. Paul would talk about his thorn in the flesh. Peter and the other disciples were more often portrayed in the Gospels as bumbling fools than heroic leaders. Elijah felt his inadequacy so deeply that he begged for God to just kill him. And yet God used every single one of these people to do something profoundly important. Our scripture story is the story of how God always uses broken, inadequate people. It's the story of how God uses messed up people, people who are going to mess up again and again and again. It's the story of God using people like you and me, with all of our mess, with all of our doubts, with all of our failures and our perceived failures, with all of our insecurities. God uses people like us to do God's work in the world. And I think God does this because God knows that those two dominant messages we tell ourselves, that we are not enough or that it all depends on us, that both of those messages are lies. You are enough, no matter how many times you may feel like you fail. You are enough, and any voice that tells you otherwise is not speaking truthfully. But also, it's not all up to you. Whether you're thinking about raising kids or being a partner or a spouse or caring for aging parents or your job or your career or living out your faith or whatever else it may be, we are in this together. None of us are isolated units where we have to do everything all by ourselves. That's why being a part of a community is so important. That's one reason that I love every week the sharing that takes place at the Bethel table, because so many voices speak to the importance of being in community, this awareness, this recognition that we are in it together. And finally, while God understands that these two messages are a lie, God also understands something that is part of the very essence of our faith. And that is, our self-worth does not depend on our success or our failure. So often we believe that we have to accomplish something. We have to do something great in order to be whole, in order to be deserving of love. And yet our faith says just the opposite. Our faith tells us that we are worthy, that we are whole, that we are deserving of love, not because of anything we have done, but simply because we belong to God. Our identity is not in our successes or our failures, but rather our identity is that each of us is created as the image of God. Each of us is loved unconditionally by God. So friends, may we learn to see ourselves and one another in the same way that God does. May we learn to see ourselves just as we are, nothing more and nothing less, and to trust that that is more than good enough. Amen.